Prayase, when the endeavor, apahate, futile, tasmin, in that, daitya indra, king of the demons, pari sankita, very much afraid, chakara, executed, tadvada upayan, various means for killing him, nirbandena, with determination, yudhisthira. O King Yudhisthira. Translation, my dear King Yudhisthira, when all the attempts of the demons to kill Prahlad Maharaj were futile, the king of the demons, Hiranyakasipu, being most fearful, began contriving other means to kill him. Text 43 and 44. Hiranyakasipu could not kill his son by throwing him beneath the feet of big elephants, throwing him among huge, fearful snakes, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of a hill, conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison, starving him, exposing him to severe cold, wind, fire, and water, or throwing heavy stones to crush him. When Hiranyakasipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless, he was in great anxiety about what to do next. Hiranyakasipu thought, I have used many ill names in chastising this boy Prahlad and have devised so many means of killing him, but despite all my endeavors, he could not be killed. Indeed, he saved himself by his own powers without being affected in the least by these treacheries and abominable actions. Although he is very dear to me and is merely a child, he is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curved tail, which can never be straightened, because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu. Report: the word suna means dog and sepa means tail. The example is ordinary. However, one may try to straighten a dog's tail. It is never straight, but always curved. Sunasepa is also the name of the second son of Ajigarta. He was sold to Harishchandra, but he later took shelter of Vishvamitra, Harishchandra's enemy, and never left his side. Text 47, I can see this boy's strength is unlimited, for he has not feared any of my punishments. He appears immortal. Therefore, because of my enmity towards him, I shall die. Or maybe this will not take place. Thinking in this way, the king of the Daityas, morose and bereft of bodily luster, remained silent with his face downwards. Then Shanda and Amarka, the two sons of Sukracharya, spoke to him in secret. O Lord, we know that when you simply move your eyebrows, all the commanders of the various planets are most afraid. Without the help of any assistant, you have conquered all the three worlds. Therefore, we do not find any reason for you to be morose and full of anxiety. As for Prahlad, he is nothing but a child and cannot be a cause of anxiety. After all, his bad or good qualities have no value. Until the return of our spiritual master, Sukracharya, arrest this child with the ropes of Varuna so he will not flee in fear. In any case, by the time he is somewhat grown up and has assimilated our instructions or served our spiritual master, he will change in his intelligence, and thus there's no need to be in anxiety. After hearing these instructions of Shanda and Amarka, the sons of his spiritual master, Hiranyakasipu agreed and requested him to instruct Prahlad in that system of occupational duty which is followed by royal householder families. Purport, Hiranyakasipu wanted Prahlad Maharaj to be trained as a diplomatic king and ruling the kingdom, the country of the world, but not to be advised about renunciation or renounced order of life. The word dharma here does not refer to some religious faith, as clearly stated. Dharma hyas upajastavya ragyam yo grihamedinam. There are two kinds of royal families, one whose members are simply attached to household life, and the other consisting of rajarshis, kings who govern with ruling power, but are as good as great saints. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to become a rajarshi, whereas Hiranyakasipu wanted him to become a king attached to sense enjoyment. Therefore, in the Aryan system, there is Varnashram Dharma, by which everyone should be educated according to his position in society's division of Varna and Ashrama. A devotee purified by devotional service is always in the transcendental position above the mundane qualities. Thus, the difference between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakasipu was that Hiranyakasipu wanted to keep Prahlad in mundane attachment, whereas Prahlad was above the modes of material nature. As long as one is under the control of material nature, his occupational duty is different from that of a person not under such control. One's real dharma or occupational duty is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, as described by his order carriers by Dharmaraj or Yamaraj. A living being is a spiritual entity, and therefore his occupational duty is also spiritual. The real dharma is that which is devised in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharma pratyaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. One must give up one's material occupational duties, just as one must give up his material body. Whatever one's occupational duty, even according to Varnashram system, one must give it up and engage in one's spiritual function. One's real dharma or occupational duties, explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivar Surupoy Krishnar Nityadas. Every living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna. That is one's real occupational duty. Translation: after hearing these instructions of Shanda and Amarka, the sons of the spiritual master, Hiranyakasipu agreed and requested them to instruct Prahlad in that system of occupational duty which is followed by royal householder families. So we see that Hiranyakasipu tried many different ways of killing his son, such as snakes and poison and throwing him off a cliff, crushing him by rocks, starving him to death, etc., exposing him to heat and cold, putting black magic spells on him or whatever. Nothing worked. So then he became very depressed. And he was a little fearful that my son is so powerful. His will could not be carried out. And then the teachers pacified him. We'll just wait and we'll give him good instructions. And then he will improve eventually. Already, of course, Hiranyakasipu's understood he's not going to change. But still, somehow or other, he agreed to this proposal of the two teachers. Oh, we'll convince them somehow or other after failing previously. Hopefully, when he grows up, his mentality will change. That's their only argument they can give. So therefore, Hiranyakasipu agreed because he couldn't do anything else. He couldn't kill him in any way. So what to do with him? So they imprisoned him and tried to give him instructions. So what instructions? It says Dharma of Grihamedes concerning royalty, the conduct of a king who is a Grihamedi. So in other words, they tried to instruct him in enjoying as a king, which is exactly what Hiranyakasipu was doing. He was enjoying as the king, and he was Grihamedi. He was attached to family life, etc. So, in other words, a purely materialistic way of life. This is what was taught. We see, of course, that Hiranyakasipu and others like Bali Maharaj, when he was a demon, they actually seemed to be dharmic. And even Duryodhana seemed dharmic. And everyone admired him for his qualities and how he instituted things very nicely and managed very nicely, etc. So the demons also have some expertise at managing. However, the problem is they do not accept the existence of the Supreme Lord and his authority. So they may have an appearance of following Dharma or Varnas and Ashramas, etc., and respecting Brahmanas and whatever, doing sacrifice, but ultimately they don't admit the existence of the Supreme Lord. So this, therefore, can be called Asuric Varnashram. Looks like Varnashram, but it is Asuric, without any recognition of the Lord. So the true system would be Daiva Varnashram, recognition of the Supreme Lord. And actually, the Bhagavatam explains that without recognition of the Supreme Lord, that other Varnashram system will not work. That Asuric one will not work. So in other words, Hiranyakasipu can have a system. It will fail, ultimately. And if one follows the Daiva Varnashram system, then one can get results. One can get Artha, Dharma, Kama for that system, and eventually Moksha through Jnana. So that's the general system recommended in the Bhagavad Gita for population at large, Daiva Varnashram. Above that, then we have, or let's say independent of that, we have the process of bhakti. So though Daiva Varnashram system includes bhakti as an element, its main purpose is Artha, Dharma, and Kama. It is not satisfaction of the Lord as the main element. They do that in order to get their Artha, Dharma, and Kama. So the main goal is Artha, Dharma, Kama. In order to get that, they recognize they have to accept the Supreme Lord. And they will worship Him. But they will also worship Devatas and do so many other things. So, when we talk about bhakti yoga, what we mean is that we exclude everyone else and we only worship the Supreme Lord. And we only worship Him, preferably purely. If we do have material desire, yes, then it is called mixed bhakti. And we mix other elements, it can be called mixed bhakti. But the real bhakti is completely pure, no desires at all for anything except pleasing the Lord. So that is what the system of bhakti is. So, that does not depend upon the Varnashram system, though one can utilize or employ elements of Varnashram which may be favorable for one's spiritual development. So, therefore, we have great kings who were great devotees. They also practice Varnashram system as a duty to uplift the people in general. So, that is the actual system. And the system of propagated by Hiranyakasipu and his teachers trying to convince Prahlad is that is the unauthorized system. which is ultimately not very different from modern materialism, where the aim of a government and its leaders is to get enjoyment and supply everybody with artha, dharma, kama. So, this is a system which is not recommended in the Bhagavatam or in the scriptures. So when they speak, when the Bhagavatam here speaks of the two teachers talking about dharma, it is not the real dharma. It is a dharma devoid of worship of the Supreme Lord and aimed at simply enjoying in the material world. So, if we look at modern world, what do we have? Rules and regulations in order to get your enjoyment. So that is exactly. They'll follow rules and regulations to the extent that they get their enjoyment in the material world. That's all. So that is not any, that's not a very elevated system, nor is it a surprising system, because every country in the world can have that such a system, or any people can have that system. So what marks a real civilization is where they understand that everything depends on the Supreme Lord. Then it becomes a real civilized system. So that is why Prabhupada said that in the Varnashram system, which recognizes the Lord, then we'll have real civilization. And Lord Chaitanya, when he grades the things, he has plants and animals and fish and birds and everything else, then he has human beings. And above that, human beings who practice Varnashram Dharma, they're higher than the regular human beings. But higher than that, ultimately, is the devotee of the Lord. So, bona fide Varnashram is a step towards bhakti, and is also has favorable elements for the execution of bhakti. So that's the relationship between the two things. So they were trying to teach Prahlad, you must give up your ideas of worship of the Supreme Lord and simply engage in these rules and regulations for promoting artha, dharma, kama. So we see that Prahlad's strength was that he depended completely on the Supreme Lord and remembered him at all times. So this is actually an impossible proposition, or to think that Prahlad is going to give up his ideas suddenly simply because of these foolish people. When already they attempted to kill him in many ways. And still he wouldn't change his ideas. So how would he change now that they couldn't kill him, and he was maturing and growing up and becoming more intelligent? Why would he change at all? So Prahlad is an example of smaranam, or remembrance. Now, of course, when we do anything, we have to remember the Supreme Lord. Obviously, there's two rules. Always remember the Supreme Lord, never forget him. So where we do hearing, chanting, remembering, archana, everything, there's remembrance of the Lord automatically is the goal. Our idea is to think of the Supreme Lord. But smaranam here as a sadhana means that one prominently uses this method of concentration on thinking of the Lord and his form and his qualities, etc. This becomes very prominent, then it becomes smaranam as a main activity. Therefore, this was the advancement of Prahlad. He was able to remember the Lord during all of these different difficulties. Very, very advanced, because he didn't have to, he didn't depend on anything else. He had no good association at all. But he could simply concentrate on the Supreme Lord. So, and that gave him strength. And Vishnu, it was explained, actually, non-different from Vishnu. He became non-different from Vishnu. Vishnu is cannot be touched by anything in the material world. So therefore, Prahlad cannot be touched by Hiranyakasipu or his people, by their weapons. So what to speak of their teachings? Obviously, they would not affect him at all. They cannot affect him with threats or anything. So their teachings also would do no good, not influence him at all. Nevertheless, they were hopeless, so therefore they tried this, convincing him that you should enjoy in the material world. So, the reason that Prahlad could not be changed, we can say, is because he had higher taste. If we have no taste, then we'll be tempted by material things. And it would be very easy to convince a person to adopt Artha, Dharma, and Kama. We give you a method you can enjoy nicely in the material world. Everybody will say, yes, sir. Yeah, well, if we can enjoy, very good. Okay. So, why didn't it affect Prahlad? Because he had higher enjoyment. He got bliss from remembering the Supreme Lord. How is that? Because Supreme Lord is Ananda. He is the source of all Ananda. The word Krishna means existence, Na means bliss. So, Supreme Lord is the source of all existence, the source of all bliss. So all bliss ultimately stems from Supreme Lord. So in remembering the Supreme Lord, it became blissful. So what is the use of this material bliss or happiness of Artha, Dharma, Kama? Useless. Because he had higher bliss, therefore all these attempts to lure him with lower things failed. It could not touch him in any way. So he was fixed in remembering the Supreme Lord. This is an Anga Bhakti. And then he got bliss from this. And we'll see that because of his fixed bhakti, the Lord appeared before him. He was very special because the Lord actually made an appearance, not just internally, but as avatar. And he actually killed Hiranyakasipu. So we can say that Prahlad was very advanced because he was, you know, in bhava one can see the Lord, but it's internal realization. So here we got actual avatar of the Lord appearing and killing Hiranyakasipu. So the devotion of Prahlad was very advanced. He's a prem bhakta, even though he was very young. This also illustrates, of course, the idea that the Lord is controlled by bhakti. Krishna karshani, bhakti attracts Krishna. So because of the prema manifested in Prahlad, the Lord made his appearance in this material world. So it was very hopeless for these teachers to try to lure Prahlad with their teachings of Artha, Dharma, and Kama in the material world, because he already had the highest bliss from Supreme Lord. Bhakti is an individual thing, so we have individuals who have devotion. So as they advance, they develop good qualities beyond sattva, that is spiritual qualities. So they control their senses, etc. So therefore, these all the laws that one has to implement in society are automatically done. The regulator principles and everything else are naturally there. So one sense, you don't need the government. So in an ideal devotional society, there is no government. In the spiritual world, there's no government. However, of course, we don't have all devotees at that level. So therefore, we do have rules and regulations. We have rules and regulations for society. We have rules and regulations for devotees also. So, in this way, we say as one advances, then the necessity of a system would be less. But for those who are on a lower level, they need some sort of rules and regulations system in terms of for bhakti and in their normal life. So, therefore, it is convenient to adopt the systems of dharma for that and take the ideas of what is sinful, what is not sinful, etc., and follow those rules.
Thanks, Prabhu.